We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, here on a Friday morning, final day of April, and we have some news to share from the Manhattan Regional Airport. Joining us via Zoom here is Director of the Airport, Jesse Romo. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Yeah, certainly is a pleasure. I know there's been a lot of happenings going on out at the airport here recently, and I think it's good to let people know, you know, especially when with travel season upon us here, more people likely going to be traveling here in the next few weeks and into the summer, kind of what they can expect here when they travel through the Manhattan Regional Airport.
Yeah, actually, you know, like you said, we have some news. And let me start off with this. We were up in the month of April. We were up 785% versus last year.
How about that?
785. Yeah, it matches our area code, right? But it's just amazing what a difference it makes when you start comparing, finally start comparing COVID numbers to COVID numbers. And so when you're looking at enplanements, those are a number of people getting on board the aircraft. And in 2020, 281 people flew in April. 281. It was incredibly low when you look at, you know, that compared to 19. In 19, we had 6,000 people fly. And so, you know, even in 21 with 2,400 people flying, we're still not quite to our 19 pre-COVID numbers. We're down 61% compared to that. But it's really great to finally compare apples to apples and look at COVID impact to COVID impact. And, you know, a 785% increase, we're going to take it. That's really good news. And we wanted to share that one right off the bat. You know, and as you mentioned, it's just been a really difficult year since COVID, you know, kicked off, and April was that big struggle, and it's really impacted our industry, and it's taken a lot to get people, you know, back on board aircraft and flying again. So having spring break come around and seeing not just here in Manhattan, but nationally, all the numbers have been picking up. And you know, I should point out to you that the Manhattan market continues to follow the national trends. And so it's been really, really good for us to see that as, you know, our numbers decrease, so do the nations. As our numbers increase, you know, so does the nations. And it's nice to show that we're not an anomaly, you know, when we're talking to airlines and trying to get service back. But there's been a lot of adjustments and changes made because of COVID. And, you know, we're still doing a lot of things that we were at the beginning, which is includes additional cleaning. You know, we got our electrostatic sprayer out there quite often, you know, sanitizing as much as we can, the high touch surfaces, still encouraging social distancing, and masks are still required when you come to the airport. And so I know there's been a lot of discussion and questions as it relates to city ordinance and the county guidance, state guidance, whatever that may be. Federal requirements rule at the airport, and right now we're still under the federal requirement to have masks. I would encourage passengers, you know, when you're looking to fly and travel, to do as much research as possible. You know, your experience at the airport is going to be pretty similar. You're going to have your mask on. You can go to TSA's website or look at their social handles at AskTSA. They do a great job of conveying, creatively conveying a lot of good information out there on what you can and can't take through the security check line. But then when you start getting into the airlines, each airline has different rules. And I know that can get confusing. So please check with American. You'll also have different rules as it relates to where you're flying to. So if you're going international, there are some countries that are requiring, you know, COVID tests within, whether it be 24 or 48 hours. So you wanna make sure that you can get those things done and lined up. Some airports, when you're going through the international, you know, airports like Dallas and Chicago, can have rapid testing available for you. But those are all the things that you need to plan out in advance as you're going. And be aware too of the, you know, it's not just equal reciprocity all the times either. United States may have some restrictions on you coming back from where you are. So even though they may let you in, you know, that way, coming back, you may have a challenge, and you need to make sure, you know, you're familiar with all those rules. And I wish I could lay them all out for you, but fact of the matter is they're constantly changing. And so, you know, even earlier this week, we saw some new CDC guidance come out. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that you got to really stay on the ball when you're looking to travel.
And you may have the answer to this, you may not, but if somebody's fully vaccinated, can they show their card to get out of wearing the masks? Is that maybe not something that's going on right now?
That's not something going on right now. There's discussions about that happening. And so there's discussions about creating like a vaccination passport. But as of right now, you know, the rule is just blanket. It's everybody's got to wear a mask. And so you're still following the same, you know, practices as before.
Okay.
And by the way, the other great news that we have, Brandon, is we've got Chicago coming back. You know, it's been a long time coming, and here in May, we're going to see Chicago return. Really excited about that. We're also going to have, with that, Food Truck Friday on May 7th. And so we'll have Smokin' Willie's coming out, you know, bring the truck out from Wamego. Really excited to have them parked out there right in front of the terminal from 11 to 1, trying to capture that lunch crowd. So if you're flying out, you know, you have an opportunity to grab some really good food from Smokin' Willie's food truck and get back on board at Manhattan Regional Airport. We're flying to Chicago again starting May 6th. And so May is going to have three daily departures to Dallas. Those departures will be at 6 a.m., 12:57 p.m., and 5:53 p.m. So essentially 6 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. And those daily departures are also going to be on the larger aircrafts, the CRJ-700s. And we had those fly in, you know, first a few years back. And what an upgrade those are. Those are the 65-seaters. They have first-class options, a lot more overhead capacity, leg room, more baggage, you know, capacity for people that are carrying a lot of baggage and checking in, especially handy for those military travelers. And then we're also going to have the Chicago departure, a daily departure. Well, most days, but a daily departure at 7:10 a.m., taking you to Chicago O'Hare. And that'll be on the smaller aircraft. That's the ERJ-145. So those are the 50-seaters. But, you know, it's a step in the right direction. We can get really excited, too, about having the additional capacity come in, having the airline get excited to bring back, you know, more flights to Manhattan. But at the end of the day, we need to use the service to keep the service. And so that never changes. So, you know, you got to put butts in seats, and that's what we need. We need people flying and getting on board aircraft at book your travel today at flymhk.com.
You know, I know it's important, you know, having the flights to Dallas as well, but, you know, not having Chicago these past few months was a real hindrance on travel here for folks. And I know a lot of people travel to Chicago from Manhattan.
Yeah, Chicago is a great way to get to the East Coast, and we get a lot of travelers going to Washington, D.C. And so that was it was sorely missed, but you know, so were all the travelers. And so now that we're seeing people come back, and right now I'll tell you too, what's kind of different about the trend going on is we're being led by the leisure traveler. You know, typically we look at market segments in two ways. We have business travelers and leisure travelers. And usually in the past, it's always been the business traveler that is driving the markets. But right now, you know, it's the leisure traveler that's returning back to flying. So it's nice to see that, you know, people are getting ready to fly again. People are ready to travel. So as soon as, you know, business recovers, you got conferences that are starting to go back in person, you know, travel budgets start being approved again and restrictions start getting lifted, I think we'll start seeing business travel come back. You know, and maybe in smaller increments over the next year or so, but at least people are out there getting out and traveling. And with that, all the airlines, and including American, has been adjusting their routes and offering a lot more services to like beach and mountain destinations, you know, for people that are looking for a nice getaway vacation.
Very nice. Sounds good. Jesse Romo again joining us here, director of Manhattan Regional Airport, and in the daily flights to Chicago starting up May 6th here again in Manhattan. Let's talk about the runway project a little bit. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, the runway project is still moving forward. You know, that's one of those it's a multi-year project. It's not something that can be done too quickly. And so we had a planning effort that started in 2018. That got completed last year in 2020. That went through all the different, you know, forecasting that you got to do, the aircraft that are utilizing it and how much they're utilizing it. Then you compare that with the FAA's design standards to set, you know, what is your, the dimensions that you're eligible for FAA federal funding. And then we had some challenges there, you know, and we can talk about that too in a second. Then we had design also, we kicked off in 2020. And as part of the CARES Act, that design grant, which would usually be a 90-10 split, meaning the FAA would pay 90% and City of Manhattan would pay 10%. The CARES Act grant, you know, gave us 100% on that grant. So anything that was eligible for federal funding was 100% for design. And that was going to be funded over 2 years. And then with the CERSA Act, we got another grant that's going to make that whole at a totally 100% for the design effort that's spending 2 years here. So really great, positive, you know, steps in the right direction for getting additional funding. The latest grant that we had, and this is another one of those, you know, moving pieces that we had to coordinate as part of the runway project, is a reimbursable grant. So even though we've been dealing with the FAA's airports division on planning and design, the FAA's different line of business, it's called tech ops, technical operations, they handle all the navigational aids. You know, these are your land-based systems that help aircraft come in and fly, you know, during bad weather, inclement weather. And so we have our ILS, our lighting systems, and different impacts of the nav aids for the runway project. And so the FAA Tech Ops was going to do a reimbursable agreement where we spend money up front from the city. They get a lot of those nav aid things getting ready, you know, for updates with the runway project, and then we get reimbursed. And reimbursement typically comes at 90-10. Again, with the additional COVID relief acts that have been coming out of Congress, that one is also going to be coming out at 100%. So we're really excited, again, about a lot of the different COVID relief funding that has been coming out of Congress. Can't thank enough, you know, our senators, Moran and Marshall, for their support on getting us some additional funding in that way. It's going to be very helpful as we look at this project, because it is, you know, a really big project. We're looking at 35-40 million, you know, overall. And the more funding that we can get from the federal side, it's really helpful for us on the local. Construction is still slated to begin in 2023. And so we're looking to go out to bid next year and have construction occur in 23. And hopefully that stays, you know, within a 3 month time frame. You've got intersecting runway design. So whenever you do an intersection, you have to close both runways. That we're trying to mitigate and minimize as much as possible. So there will be some disruption to air service, you know, in the next couple of years as we do construction. But the airline is fully aware, they're engaged, and we've been, you know, keeping them abreast of the entire situation as we've been moving forward.
All right. Yeah, that'll be interesting, but necessary. This is kind of what comes with growth. Is that right?
Growth, and actually just as timing would have it, you know, you do these runways, you design them for a 20-year lifespan, you know, per the FAA's requirements. But if you have a good pavement management program and preventive maintenance program, these things will last 40, 50 years. And so, you know, I'm just lucky enough to have this occur during my tenure in my career. And so once this is done, we're going to be good for another 40, 50 years.
Very good. Well, a lot of excitement at the airport, and what a difference a year makes, because at this time last year, I remember some pretty somber interviews with you, Jesse. It was not a good time.
Yeah, you know, it was really hard to find good news in 2020. But again, you know, Chicago's coming back. We're up 785%. And I think we're finally seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, and things are starting to look up.
Yep. I'm going to venture a guess and say that's the first time ever the airport's been up 785%.
That is a, I'm going to say it's a record too. Why not?
Very good. Well, Jesse, appreciate the time as always. And hold on. I think we've got, do we have a phone call, Dave? Okay, we'll take one phone call over here real quick, and then I got to get to a break here. So go ahead, caller. You're on with Jesse Romo here on In Focus.
Yes, with your new runway and all, we had a general on here the other day telling about the military, of course, has to fly their people commercial. by law, and they were taking them to Topeka and Salina because of the fuel that's available there. I know there's a pipeline going down through the middle of Little Kitten, but are there any pipelines going past the airport where we could build some fuel tanks out far beyond your new runway so that we wouldn't be the redheaded stepchild in the area? Thank you so much.
So I appreciate the question, and it brings up a really great point is our relationship with Fort Riley, and we are their direct neighbors, but they utilize the Salina Regional Airport, the Topeka Regional Airport, and Manhattan Regional Airport, all as part of their efforts for, you know, being one of the best or the best in the nation in being able to deploy and get equipment and people anywhere. So really it's driven a lot by the mission requirements. And so sometimes, you know, they can utilize our runway with the aircraft and things that they're flying in and out of and the number of people. Sometimes the mission requires additional, you know, hangars or maintenance or other items that you're going to get from Topeka or Salina. So they kind of match, you know, their needs and requirements with what the airport has and offers. And each one of us, all three of our airports are a little bit different and unique in what we can offer and provide. So can't speak specifically to the fueling issue, but I know that there's a lot of different variables that go into their decision making, and we're happy to be one of the three airports in their region that's able to help them be, again, one of the best to deploy, you know, as one of the APO EVs.
All right. Well, Jesse, you'll appreciate the time this morning, and have yourself a good weekend.
Hey, you do the same. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Stay tuned. We'll have an interview coming up with some students who are taking part in volunteering at the Flint Hills Volunteer Center. That's up next on KMAN.